As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
If you didn't have a machine to help you move the snow, you probably found it a bit...
tiring.
A snow day turned into a work day for Carter Trizzolo.
I really wish I was in school right now.
Trizzolo was clearing snow around not just his house, but also doing it...
for my neighbors, friends, probably people I even don't know.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network, a fine network. It's Monday, January 24th. I'm J.E. Skeets, and alongside me, as always, we got Tass Mellis.
What's up, everybody?
What's up, Tassie? We got our top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-o! And finally making the magic happen, super producer J.D.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. No Lili today, unfortunately. Hopefully have him back in the Classic Factory later this week. Shout out to the stream team, though, joining us live here on a Monday right on YouTube. Take a second, subscribe, like, comment, share that show. Email in your NBA questions all week long to nodunks@theathletic.com and follow us across all the social media platforms. I'm talking Twitter. I'm talking Instagram. Mm-hmm. I'm talking Facebook. Yeah, Facebook is still around. And TikTok, that's a big one for us. We had a Trey dropping a cool little tip, like a little phone hack for y'all out there. So that's available.
Running low on tips, though, Skeets.
Oh, is that the only one we had?
Well, we've got two tips up there right now. We've got the legendary keep your music going while recording a video. And, yeah, of course, the groundbreaking say Lumos to Siri and I'll turn your phone into a flashlight. What else is there? I don't know.
No,
I'm
going to
Google it. I'm going to Google iPhone tips. Just so I can have something for the intro.
We're just
going to
start stealing tips and putting them on our TikTok.
These are not my tips.
Oh, okay. Well,
I'm just distributing the tips. Okay. I'm dishing the tips.
All right.
I'm the Skeets of the tips right now. You want a tip?
It.
Here's a tip.
All right. Well, that's No Dunks on TikTok. Go seek that out. All right. Well, it's Monday. We do our winners and losers of the NBA weekend. But first, we got to do a good 10 minutes on the Bills-Chiefs game, right? What a game.
What are these overtime rules? Come on.
Oh, you want to change them?
Everybody wants to change them.
You
don't,
Chiefs fans.
You don't give Josh Allen a shot. Come on, that is a ridiculous rule.
He's got to get better at calling the coin flip.
Choked when the biggest moment came
the,
time.
The coin flip?
Yeah.
Tails never
fails?
Should
have called the other one.
Come on. Yeah, give him a tip. Heads always wins. That tails never fails line, bullpucky.
Right, right.
That stunk. But they gave him 13 seconds, and Mahomes was able to march. Maybe they should have short kicked it, a little squibble kick.
Wow, that's
there's
what
a
they
tip.
Were saying.
Get that ball on the ground.
Oh, that was wild. That was wild.
I mean, there was 25 points scored in the final, less than 2 minutes of the game.
Crazy
that's insane.
Stuff. Yeah.
And the whole weekend was pretty entertaining for football. The week before, sucked.
Sucked.
NFL really bounced back, though, this weekend.
What a bounce back weekend for the NFL. Here's a tip. Drop the wild cards,
yeah,
NFL.
Yeah.
We don't need seventh seeds. They ruin it for everybody. When it's all good teams, it's all classic games.
Yeah, it's like having a play-in tournament. Why would you include 7, 8, 9, 10? I mean, there's just that's exactly what's happening. There's too many squads on wild card week. And then when it gets to the divisional games... Primo content.
Oh, my God. Primo. Yeah. What do you think about the overtime rules? Honestly, like, there is a big uproar to, like, come on. It is a little weird that it's decided this way. But then people push back. Hey, just get a stop. The defense gets a stop.
That's a huge tip right there. Literally stop yeah. the Chiefs from scoring with 13 seconds left, and you're going to the conference championship game. It is a bummer, though, to see two quarterbacks completely on fire, but you only get to watch the one of them in overtime.
Yeah.
People only complain, though, because it's the playoffs. I heard on the Athletic Football Show, subscribe to the Athletic at theathletic.com/nodunks. You can listen to this incredible podcast, Robert Mays and Nate Tice. No ads, great stuff, great content. Nate mentioned nobody cares in week 12. They're like, good, let's get this game over with.
Sure. Yeah.
We can go to the next weekend, but in the postseason, you want to see the best out there.
Yeah.
Those guys out there slinging the hog skin.
Slinging the hog skin. Yeah. I've never heard it said that way. Do they say that on this podcast?
No. Nobody says it that way.
Slinging the hog skin.
I kept dropping
I love football.
I kept dropping slinging the pig skin into group chats this weekend.
Yeah, that makes
sounds
sense.
Great, but I don't know. Hog is just a funny word. Just these guys whipping out their hog skins, slanging it all over the field. Howitzer arms.
Okay, well, we'll leave the football talk to the football podcast on the Athletic Network. Let's get to the basketball talk. We're actually going to start with losers on today's show, because there is a big one that we made the thumbnail and we made the title of the podcast, and we got to start with, Trey. It is Grayson Allen. And, you know, the hard foul on Caruso and the fallout from that.
Spoiler alert.
Well,
loser of the weekend is Grayson Allen. Come on, loser. Everybody saw it. Friday night, third quarter, Alex Caruso out on the fast break. He elevates from the left wing, going up for a dunk, maybe going up for a layup. And Grayson Allen comes zooming across the lane, goes up top, meets Caruso near the rim. Gets him pretty hard with one arm, and then the second arm comes and kind of throws Caruso for a do-si-do. Caruso, hard fall. This ended up being a flagrant two on Grayson Allen. Caruso stayed in the game, ended up playing quite a bit. Guarding Giannis with what turned out to be a broken wrist. The next day, the Bulls found out he's going to be missing 6 to 8 weeks with a broken right wrist. Kind of similar to what happened to Patrick Williams earlier in the year. News came down from the league that Grayson Allen would be suspended for one game. And honestly, my take on this is exactly the same as Alex Caruso's. Kind of bullshit.
Kind of. It's not kind of. It's real bullshit. I think take it to another
bullshit.
Level. That's just straight bullpucky. It is. It is, unfortunately.
What do you think? Should have been suspended more?
Yeah. I think
really?
So. Yes, I think so. You know, when you're coming at a different angle, that's a cross-body angle, because he's, you know, running, you know, figuratively sort of like from the sideline. While Caruso's going up to the hoop, you know, if you make contact, that he's being slung to the ground, no matter what, right? Physics. It's like he is going down hard, and then no ball play happened whatsoever, especially from one angle. I think he was maybe thinking he could get a piece of the ball to give him a little bit of credit, but what ended up happening is all arm. So you know, if you're coming from that angle, that he is getting thrown to the ground, and that's going to be a very violent collision with the ground for him.
So
and
what,
then he
you
doubled
think he
down.
Should have been suspended what?
And
two,
then
three
he
games?
He doubled down with that second arm as well.
The second arm is bad.
He said, all right, I'll just go for it here now. And
right.
he threw him to the ground. And yeah, it's obviously it looks bad. And the injury should escalate it a little bit, even though, you know, it's a hard thing to really assess because the guy played the rest of the game.
Weird.
Right. And then now he's out for 6 to 8 weeks. So should that factor in? Should obviously the reputation of Grayson Allen factor in? Kinda. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think so. And the uproar that happened around the league was because of his reputation. Yeah. And people talking about LeBron's hit on Isaiah Stewart only got one game. A big difference between all of them is that there was some remorse with all the rest of these guys. They all said, LeBron said immediately, like when kind of went to Isaiah Stewart and was a little bit shocked. Kelly Oubre, he tossed, who did he toss?
DeAndre Hunter
to the ground on Sunday, which was also a violent collision. Although
and
it was
got
his
tossed.
Back.
Yep.
He got tossed and he showed some remorse. He went up to him. Grayson Allen didn't show any remorse, but when he was ejected, he smiled. He gave that little Grayson Allen smile, and people did not like that, and that's understandable. Yes, I think he should get more than LeBron's one game. He should get three, I think.
You agree with this, Trey?
I don't know. One game seems in line to me with the way suspensions have gone down. Like, Jokic has only got one game for his hit on Morris, and Morris hasn't even come back to play yet.
Mm-hmm.
In retrospect, he probably should have gotten more than one game, especially considering he has a little bit of a track record as well. So I think one game makes sense just because one game is kind of what happens in the league right now. I know a lot of Bulls fans are saying he should get 6 to 8 weeks to equal Alex Caruso. That's also nonsense. But I think the fact that there's any suspension at all is the whole point of anything, right? The league is trying to send a message saying, hey, stop this kind of stuff, Grayson Allen in particular, also anybody in the league. If you're hitting up top like that, you might get suspended. We'll see what happens with Kelly Oubre, because that was almost the exact same hit.
It's very similar.
The second arm is the major problem here with the Grayson Allen thing. He kind of swings him around, and that's when Caruso really loses control of his body up in the air. And then, like Tess is saying, and the Bulls mentioned afterwards, nobody checked on Caruso afterwards. Like, Grayson Allen was just standing there and seeing what happens. He did have the Grayson grin a little bit later. I think he just seems to be a little bit of a snide fellow, if you ask me.
Yeah.
But
well, this is the other part of it. Everybody fucking hates Grayson Allen. Nobody likes him. Right. I'm not even sure Bucks fans like him all that much. So that is a part of the equation here. And you had, like, Billy Donovan, I mean, after this, was, like, going to town on him. Like, he said he could have ended his career. He has a history of this. You know, there's some truth to that, especially when it comes to tripping and stuff like that, no doubt. And fine, take that into an equation. And that he said it was really dangerous. And I agree with all of that. I think one game is totally fair, I guess you want to call it that. It makes sense. The NBA, they do have a problem with assessing some of these plays sometimes. Like, it feels sometimes a little all over the map. I'm fascinated to see what happens with Oubre. My guess is he doesn't get a game
probably
suspension.
Not.
Because Hunter, you know, is not going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. Oubre showed remorse. And he,
I think
and
that
like, these are
a...
plays on the ball. I'm sorry. He's making, like, I don't think Grayson Allen was going in with the intent that I'm going to try and take this guy over 6 to 8 weeks.
Reckless,
hard foul, yeah, sure. But they don't want to remove that from the game either. You got to let the defense try and prevent the guy. It's just unfortunate the guy falls on his wrist sometimes. Sucks.
I think Oubre was a little bit more front-facing. He was a little bit more in front of DeAndre Hunter's face. This one was a little bit more of a perpendicular kind of, like, coming from the side. And you know when you're missing the ball. Like, Caruso's flying into the rim, and you know when you're going to miss the ball that, yeah, it's going to be violent, a violent impact. And so when he got arm and then doubled down with that second arm, I mean, it is different in a couple ways from, I think, the Kelly Oubre hit.
Second arm swipe is really brutal.
Yes, yes.
But I think getting tossed from the game and then getting a game suspension is right.
I get that. It just, not because I'm a Bulls backer by any means, but the 6 to 8 weeks for Caruso, yeah, it's obviously extremely bitter. And I think Billy Donovan nailed it on the head when he went a little nutty after the game, calling it, an extremely dirty play. Happened to the Bulls earlier this season when Patrick Williams also got hit. Billy Donovan was very calm, cool, and collected after the game.
Right.
And I don't think it was necessarily because it wasn't Grayson Allen who hit Patrick Williams. I think it was just a different type of collision where it was a guy coming from the side. And so Patrick Williams, same thing happened. They didn't know that he was going to be injured immediately. And then another wrist injury for them, which was diagnosed a couple days later. So very similar for Billy Donovan. And in this case, yeah, I think a little bit of a dirtier hit. That's frankly it. Yes. Yeah, so I agree with Trey. It's like, implemented a game, and that's probably enough by league standards. League just doesn't give huge suspensions. And the Jokic one, I mean, that one was different because it was precipitated by Morris hitting him first. And so that was a little bit different. Mm-hmm. One game, it just, they don't give a lot of big big suspensions in the NBA anymore.
But you brought up the Oubre one on Hunter. There was another one even this weekend. It was Talen Horton Tucker, you know, a hard foul, if we can definitely call it that, on Jalen Suggs and LeBron. Like, there was a tiny little push in the air. He goes down hard, you know. He's okay. He's going to continue playing. He's not going to miss this 6 to 8 weeks. But this is what it does become. It's difficult, I think, in terms of, like, well, why is that one worth a game, or why is that one worth a flagrant two, and this one's not? I mean, they're generally plays on the ball, and these guys are obviously super athletic, and things go wrong in the air. But I 100% agree with the second follow-through and the fact that it's Grayson Allen, and we've seen clips already from, like, what, a month and a half ago where he sort of tried the old little trip on, I think it was Derrick Rose going by him, didn't get him. We know he's done this before in college, so that is taken into consideration, and I think the league did here a little bit with the one game.
Oh, 100% they did, and definitely they are considering the injury afterwards as well for Caruso and how long it's going to keep him out. I don't know. It sucks. I don't know what else to say about it. Like, don't hit a guy when they're jumping in the air. It goes for every single basketball player out there.
Right.
But... But I just push back on that. So what? Don't ever jump if the other guy's jumping? Like, don't try and block him or
do you think Grayson Allen is going to block a Caruso dunk from behind?
No, I get it. I don't want to defend Grayson Allen. I don't want this to turn into a Stockton-Lillard thing here. So I hear you, but the defense is trying to prevent a basket is what's happening in all of these. These guys are just trying
to stop it. That don't injure players, and it happens in almost every game.
Grayson Allen just wasn't.
I'm convinced you can't play professional sports and never gets injured.
Sure, okay.
That's not what we're saying. Well, Jeff Van Gundy was calling it a dirty hit.
Yeah, he
just wasn't in front.
Jeff Van Gundy.
He wasn't.
I'm just saying it's always going
to
happen. It's never not going to be taken out, whether they gave him a 10-game suspension or a 20-game suspension.
Yeah, I think Kelly Oubre may have been going back to the Hornets Hawks one. If you didn't see it. Yeah, DeAndre Hunter goes up for a big jam, and Kelly Oubre maybe could have got a piece of the ball if he was up higher, and maybe because DeAndre Hunter hasn't played much in his first 2 years, Kelly Oubre didn't know that DeAndre Hunter could jump that high, and he got all forearm, and he went down. In this instance, I don't think there was a chance that Grayson Allen was going to touch the ball, really, especially because of the angle, again, because he's coming from the side. It's a flyby. It's coming from the sideline. Like, you can put your hands up, and then that's it. I mean, when you get arm, and then you go in for a second arm, it's horrible, really. I mean, it's like the first arm should have got a game, and then that second arm should have got two games as well. I mean,
should they have also gotten a game for their tweet the following day with the Grayson Allen
Guts? The guts that the Bucks have to come out and put Grayson Allen on the promo for the game on Saturday night, obviously the night after.
Yeah.
And then they pulled it down.
Yeah.
It took them a while to pull it down, but Grayson Allen, you know, in the promo shot, rolling the ball around with a tiny bit of a smirk.
He's always smirking.
And then they pulled it down. And he didn't play that night because of a hip injury and then the suspension, which is going to be served on Wednesday night. Yeah, did not like that. But if you're a Bulls fan, this is what I think you should take from it. DeMar DeRozan said, you learn a lot when you hit adversity with people. We had some adversity the last couple of weeks. We're dealing with injuries, losses here and there, but it seems like it just continues to bring us closer and closer. Mm-hmm. And we want to compete for one another. So this is rough. It's rough. 2 months without Caruso and Lonzo Ball. But an embarrassment of riches at the guard spot now. You got DeMar.
No.
Levine's coming back.
Two of them are hurt.
Two of them are hurt. Hey.
Yeah. Levine coming back big. Yeah.
Yeah. Be like the
Levine
Cavs.
Coming back early. Like, he's like, I got to go fly to Oklahoma City so we don't lose to the Thunder. Mm. That was a little worrying to me. Honestly, I'm scared for the Bulls right now. The defense is going to slide. Vooch got destroyed yesterday. Against the Magic. It was boiled Vooch, no doubt. The guy needs to be good on offense because he's giving you absolutely nothing on defense. And it was, 4 for 19? He led the game in turnovers. He got mad at one point, which is, exciting to see. Vucevic showing a little bit of emotion out there. But there's no point of attack defense for the Bulls. So it's like, hey, here's a runway to go at Vooch. He doesn't challenge shots at the rim, and he can't move his feet. Other than that, he's great defensively. He can get a rebound, maybe, but it's going to be bad news until these guards come back. And Levine will help. Javonte Green will help. They forced turnovers, but the reason the Bulls were any good on defense was because they had two guards who were huge who could pressure the ball.
Mm-hmm. Great point. Great point.
And Wendell Carter, if this was a bigger name, maybe it would be making more of a story, but Wendell Carter traded from the Bulls to the Magic for Vooch, was giving it to Vooch last night.
Right.
Revenge game.
Vooch was just backpedaling and retreating and retreating and retreating to Wendell Carter and his goggles. He just was not putting that body to good use. Yeah. That was strange.
Well, let's hear from everybody out there in the stream team and maybe listening to the podcast or watching the show a little bit later. You can drop your thoughts in the YouTube comments. When it comes to the Grayson Allen hit, you agree with some of these
guys
here?
It's got to be three.
You think he deserves more than the one-game suspension? You think the league got it right? You know, how do you prevent this from ever happening? Is that even possible? Let's hear from you. All right, let's keep it going. Tass, who else do you have on the loser of the NBA weekend list?
I got the Portland Trailblazers, which is a weird one. Yeah, they won two games this weekend. How are they a loser?
What are you talking about?
What are you reaching for? I think they're caught in the middle. I don't think they know which direction they should go at the trade deadline. Is it blow it up, or is it try and win basketball games? Especially because who knows when their best player comes back. Damian Lillard just had surgery on his abdomen, and he is going to take his time. He's looking out for number one here, and it could be a long time before he comes back. And at Q&A this weekend, he said, "It's bothered me forever. It's bothered me since 2015. And I could have had it in the offseason, actually, and Blazers fans might be a little angry with this, but he said, quote, I had money down on my wedding and my honeymoon. Sounds like one of us. I didn't want to lose my deposit. And so, but listen, he's looking out for himself, and that's totally fine. After the Olympics this summer, he went on the honeymoon and the wedding, and then he came and played this year, and he just wasn't right. Mm-hmm. And so he's had surgery. He's going to be evaluated in like 5 to 7 weeks. So he could come back in March. And if getting back to football, another guy had, I don't even know his name, the Packers wideout, Cobb, I think his last name.
Randall Cobb.
He had the same abdomen surgery, came back in like 6 weeks, but Damian Lillard said he's hurting. He knows. He's been talking to his people. So I know Dame might be coming back in March or something like that. Mm-hmm. And the Blazers, again, talking about football, they could be in this play-in tournament, 8, 9, 10. But he said, I'm not coming back to play for a draft pick. And so he doesn't want to tank. And so the Blazers front office must be sitting there thinking, what do we do?
Right.
Do we tread water here with this team, bring back the same team, mostly with Damian Lillard next year, who's going to be 32 years of age next year, along with CJ McCollum? Or do we capitalize on what we got right now? Maybe there's some hope here with what Anfernee Simons is doing and trade McCollum and or Lillard. I think I would love to see...
And Nurkic, of course, too.
Yes. Yeah. And this is a front office that is an entirely new front office because Neil O'Shea was just fired. So this is just a tough, tough spot for them. I don't think they know which way to go. I think they want to appease Damian Lillard. And that's the other part. You kind of want to keep your stars. You don't want to get younger. Dame said, I'm not playing for a draft pick. I'm doing this right now. I'm getting better right now so I can have 4 to 5 great years. So that combined with his kind of trade request in the offseason just makes me believe that maybe this is going to be a parting of ways, and maybe the Blazers would be smart to just cut it right now.
Mm.
It's hard to rebuild after having a really good team. But the way you do it is trade some guys and trade your best players, and I think this might be the time. And for all us... English word nerds, Simmons and Simons would be great. Get Ben Simmons with Anfernee Simons. Simmons backcourt. Love the language there. There's a Grammarly ad coming later in the show. Simmons and Simons right there, right here, right now. Do it. I think him and Anfernee Simons obviously works really well together. It's like people asking for Trae Young and Ben Simmons right together, the offense and defense. I think they just have to cut bait at some point. The McCollum Lillard thing is done, and it's a tough spot. I think they're going to hold on these next 2.5 weeks to what they got going, which is 2 wins in a row, which is a 10th seeded team in the West. It ain't that good, and it doesn't bode well for Dame's future, I don't think. I don't think he's going to be extremely happy coming back with the same team. I think eventually they're going to have to trade somebody from that backcourt.
What do you think? Tess is saying them winning 2 games this weekend has actually made them losers because they're in this weird spot where, like, what the hell do you actually do? And, you know, if you had thought about tanking, you're doing a poor job of it. But what do you think, Trey?
I don't think six wins in 8 games would be enough for me to abandon whatever plans I have, whether that be try and go for the play-in tournament, which they might do accidentally as well, right, or if the Simmons trade comes down and they do decide they want McCollum and Nurkic, like, that's fine. Go for it. Anfernee Simons has been balling in January, 25 points per game. Now's probably the perfect time to trade him. Like, his value will likely never be higher right now. He's a young guy you could throw into a trade with McCollum, who has a way bigger contract a little further in his career. Now, if you're the Sixers, you're like, well, there's 2 decent guards that could be handling the ball for me. Maybe that's interesting, but... I don't know. It kind of feels like nobody wants the 10th seed in the Western Conference, so somebody's going to have to get it. Maybe the Blazers trade all their guys and still keep winning these games and figure out a way to get in there, get that play-in money, get 1 game of Damian Lillard. Who knows what happens in a 1-game series? He hits enough. Suddenly you're in the playoffs making more money. But I don't think that Lillard is going to be traded. But everybody else should still be on the block.
I'm going to go to the Washington Wizards for a loser of the weekend. They lost 2 home games over the last couple days to teams they're battling in the standings. On Friday, the Raptors hung on after they blew a huge 18-point lead, but they held on to get the victory, 109-105. And then on Sunday, Jason Tatum, and I know we'll get to him when we get to our winners, he scored 51 to help the Celtics just crush Washington, 116-87. Remember when the Wizards were 10-3?
I remember.
Man, we were very excited, and the depth of that team was like proving to get them a lot of victories and stuff like that. And that was with Beal, you know, not playing well to start with, and he sort of continued to struggle a little bit. But they're 13-21 since. And, you know, you talk about the Blazers being sort of like, what are we doing here? Are we running this back? Are we not? Do we look to move like a Lillard or at least a McCollum? I think the Wizards are in the same boat here with Bradley Beal. And at least this season, he's sure not looking like a Supermax type of guy. Like a 1A, get on my back and I can win us playoff series. I'm sorry, I just don't think he's going to be that. He's going to be the ultimate secondary sort of guy, or the second guy to a good player. And now they're like, here they are. They got Hachimura back. Thomas Bryant is back. Now they have like a ton of guys and they're trying to figure out minutes. Some of them are on minutes restrictions here still, but it's just a weird team and the defense sucks again. Three-point shooting is non-existent. Remember they signed that guy Bertans to be their three-point shooter?
I remember that guy.
He doesn't play, and when he plays, he can't hit a shot. It's a bad contract. I think he's like a $16, $17 million per year player. So I don't know what the Wizards do here. And like, there's some talk, even from Wizards fans, like, whew, do we trade Beal? Do you really seriously look to move him and get like a nice haul back, and you have some talent on the roster and go from there?
I think you absolutely look at it. I don't think Beal is a long for Washington. I know he keeps trying to make it work, and he is. And he's talked about being a one-team guy, but he never signed a long extension.
Right.
He signed a one-year extension to see what the front office would do. And they've tried. They turned Russell Westbrook into a huge glut of players. Right. But I see the comparison between Beal and Lillard. They've essentially gave it all they could in the city that they're in. They're probably in their mind looking at a second phase of their career where it ain't in that city anymore. And so I see both teams potentially moving on, especially when they're at home and Jason Tatum as a road guy, a fellow St. Louis guy, going up against Beal and the Wizards is getting MVP chance in Washington. I used to hate watching games in the phone booth, watching the Wizards games at home. Then I kind of liked it earlier this season. It was buzzy for the Wizards, but it's kind of gone back the other way, where the road team, is getting more love than the home team.
The Wizards, man. I don't know. I loved watching Jason Tatum just destroy the Wizards yesterday. Like, I'm very excited to talk about it. At one point, Scalabrine says, it's like he's practicing out there. And that's what it's like. It was like, okay, here's what we need to do to get a wide open shot. Run a pick and roll. I'll get Montrezl Harrell on me. I'll either go to the hoop, no problem, or just step back and hit a three right in your face. And it was just time and time again. The Wizards have a lot of guys, and now at this point, they're just playing too many of them. Like, you don't need to play Bertans. He could just sit down. I know you're paying him a lot of money. Sit him down. Sit down, Neto. Like, who cares? You don't need to play three centers if they're all not that good. The Wizards, they've got a peak of the seventh seed, and that's kind of been the entirety of Beal's career. So, I don't know. He's got a player option for next year. I assume that he will take that wherever he ends up. But if I'm the Wizards, I wouldn't be against trading him, even if he wants to stay around. Because him and, I think, Lillard as well, they want to stay around until they get their super-duper max.
Yeah.
And then they'll say, you know, now that I'm making $48 million a year, trade me somewhere. I think they're sticking around to get those hometown bucks, no doubt about it. So if you want to be smart about it, it's impossible to do to say we're throwing our team away, we're throwing this era of our franchise away. Might be the smart move.
Yeah, Unseld played 11 guys in the first half in Sunday's game, and it was Bertans wasn't even one of them, which is the crazy part. So it's Beal, Gafford, Dinwiddie, KCP, and Kuzma starting, and then now, because these guys are coming back, Thomas Bryant, Rui, Montrezl Harrell, Avdija, Corey Kispert, and then Neto. That's a lot of guys. And, like, a lot of these are solid, solid players, but they are really, they're struggling to figure out who the heck's going to get these minutes. And, I mean, is it a case of almost, like, too many guys there? I think they should move off Beal here. And I think a lot of people thought they should have done it probably prior. But, you know, it's also difficult for these organizations when the guy says, I do want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know, you are not a free agent destination, and you have a star player, an all-NBA guy. He's not playing all that great this year, but that's tough to then say, oh, well, he wants to be here, but see you later. It's for the best of our organization to capitalize and get, like, a nice haul back. But yeah. I really think they should. Just another loser of the weekend here, and then we'll take our first break and get to the winners. I just wanted to get your take. I'm throwing it into the losers bracket here, but the Lakers split their Florida games over the weekend. They beat Orlando, but they lost to Miami. But according to Mark Stein, the Lakers recently offered a 2027 first-round pick and Talen Horton-Tucker and Kendrick Nunn as a package to the Pistons for Jeremy Grant. And so far, the Pistons have said, come on. That's not good enough. There's no way we're going to be doing that. We're holding out probably for better players. Just what's your take on this, you know, trade rumor from the reputable Mark Stein? Talen Horton-Tucker, none, and then a future first-round pick.
Yeah, way down the road.
Right.
Because the Lakers don't have a lot of picks remaining. I think the Pistons are doing the right thing, just waiting for a more established piece or a more established pick. Something that's a little bit higher in the draft than what the Lakers would be offering, and not a billion years down the road. I mean, they have four first-round picks that they're trying to work out on the floor right now in Cade and Bay and Isaiah Stewart and the lefty point guard who
Killian
I always...
Hayes. Killian Hayes.
Yeah. Killian Hayes. He's the forgettable one
you
of the four, and that's why
I
always forget. So why would they make that trade? Mm-hmm. James Edward at The Athletic has said that the trade offers are not coming in, you know, all that swiftly for Grant. They're just not coming in right now, and so that's a bad sign, I guess. So maybe they're gonna have to settle for a deal like that, because I think Grant and the Pistons have come to an agreement. It's probably time for me to move on, and he would help a team. So the Lakers would be very ecstatic to get him for that deal.
Well, this is like all they can offer. This is the hilarious part. There's really nothing else they can offer to teams outside of a super future round first round pick in 2027, and then THT, and then none. So, if the Pistons are saying that's not enough for Grant, you know, is there something like, do they try to go to the Kings and get that for Harrison Barnes? Do they go? Do they maybe like even take it down a little bit more and offer something for Robert Covington to the Blazers? Right. Like they need some wing help. This makes sense, trying to get a Grant type guy, but if that's not going to be enough, and they don't have any more to add, really.
I guess that's why this is out there, right? The Pistons are saying, "Here's the offer. Here's the baseline. Pretty easy to beat, right? Rest of the NBA, come on, somebody can do a little bit better than this. A guy in Kendrick Nunn who hasn't played at all this season, and a pick that's 5 years down the road." That being said, Lakers 27 first round pick might be looking pretty nice.
That's true.
Yeah.
Who knows what the Lakers are going to look like in five seasons? I mean, more than likely they will have replenished their various superstars, and maybe Anthony Davis is healthy at that point. I don't think Russell Westbrook will probably be a Laker at that point. Who knows if LeBron will?
Bronny Jr.
Who knows if Bronny Jr. will? I'm just saying, 2027 first round pick for the Lakers after they've traded all of their other picks and all of this stuff, and they've got a massive payroll. That could be an Otis Thorpe, right?
Yeah.
Suddenly you're picking number two and you never expected to. So I wouldn't totally sneeze at that. That being said, somebody should be able to beat this offer from the Lakers. THT, he's more of a flashes kind of guy right now. Maybe he'll be great in the future, but right now we're just kind of waiting to see it consistently. And if he were as good as Jeremy Grant, the Lakers wouldn't be trying to trade him. But personally, I would like to trade for a Lakers swear jar. I kind of think we need to bring it back. This team is stupid. Did you see some of the defense they were playing against Jimmy Butler? Yeah. He would just get the ball in an inbound and just go to the hoop. And Melo's like, hey, come on in, my friend. It was disgusting, that loss against the Heat.
Yeah, that's why it's... Again, that's all they can really offer in deals. And they're not helped out that THT is having a brutal year. I mean, he's only 21, so there's still hope that he turns into a much better player and like the flashes that we saw before, but he's been garbage this year.
Yeah, and Anthony Davis looks like he will be back very, very soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's working out before a game.
In theory.
Yeah, he should help them a lot. And I don't really want to see that shirt on the sideline anymore. Did you see the shirt he was wearing yesterday?
No, I missed
Anthony Davis shirt?
Yeah, I don't even know how to describe it. I mean, vertical...
Stripes?
Not stripes. It's a vertical pattern. They're sort of like the key, like the Greek key, if you know what I mean, in vertical stripe form with various colors. It's just... Anyway.
Trying to find a picture of his shirt.
I mean,
tough.
Sometimes good, sometimes bad with AD's wardrobe, but not a good one in Miami. Anyway.
Well, let's take our first break. When we come back, we're going to get two winners of the NBA weekend.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the... Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, yeah, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/nodunks.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Well done, guys.
There you go.
Thanks for chipping in there.
Oh, there'll be more later. But we got to pay the bills somehow.
More ads to come. Stick around.
Let's get to winners of the NBA weekend. Let's do that because we did this backwards this time. We started with the losers today, but let's get to the winners. Tass, I sort of teed you up there, I guess, when I was talking about the Wizards' loss. Jason Tatum, whoo, hot.
He's hot, and he's going to be an all-star this season. Lock it in. And I'm not – this isn't just recency bias.
I think you're right.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, we wondered if he would be in, and I have a problem putting him in there just because of the season he's having. He's not having a season that is worthy of him. He's just having a bad year in terms of shooting the ball. But he had 51 on Sunday, and he's doing it at the right time. So 51, 10 boards, 7 assists, a career-high 9 threes – after a bad previous 6, 9 threes is more than he had in the last 6 combined. He's had 5 50-point games in the last calendar year. Thanks for that stat, Jared Weiss, which leads all NBA players. And on the road, as we said in Washington, he was getting MVP chance. And the reason why I think he is going to be an all-star, despite underperforming by his standards, mm-hmm. The Celtics are 500, and they're 8th in the East. So, how do coaches decide this guy who's 8th in the East deserves a spot over, let's say, a Fred Van Vliet or a LaMelo Ball? Or there's sort of a glut of guys as well as a glut of teams.
He's helped out that he's a forward, if we're being honest.
That's true.
A lot of these guys are like the fringe guys are like going to be one of the last two picks, like you said, like a Van Vliet or... You know, Garland's looking better and better. His chances are getting
better. That's a good point.
I think Tatum's helped out by being a forward, but
that's a good point. Yeah. It's a jumbled standings mess in the Eastern Conference. So right now they're everybody's sort of together. And what are coaches going to do? I think coaches are going to look at guys who've been there before. So he'll probably get a spot over some of these guys who are trying to get there for the first time. Gaudy stats, of course, and guys that they really have to game plan for game in and game out. So I think that bodes well for the Celtics. Also, If you look back to last year, and I look back at the dates at this really weird 2020-2021 season, and when the coaches made their picks, the Celtics were about 500 as well. They put in both Jays, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Now, they were higher in the standings because a 500 team last year got you like fourth when they made their selections. This year, they're down to eighth because it is a wild Eastern Conference. Everyone is so close together. But I think they're going to have to pick Jason Tatum. He's just going to stand out amongst everybody who's sort of together because he's a young guy that's, again, got two all-star spots in consecutive years. So I think he'll get there, even not being a great season for him. And also Marcus Smart said he loves him. A winner of the weekend because Marcus Smart approached him and said, "Hey, I love you, man." So good for him. Good for the Celtics. Even though they lost to the Blazers on Friday,
they blew another big, big lead.
That's what they do.
Yeah,
had to.
That's a weird team. And I guess part of my bias of not picking Jason Tatum a couple weeks ago is that everybody had some higher standards for this team. If you had to hold them to a higher standards of what they were last year, which was a 500 team, a lot of guys missing action. But they have not met those. But at the same time, Tatum is going to the All-Star game.
I do think you're right, especially, again, like when you think about the reserves at the forward or at least the front court positions, like Jimmy Butler, you know, he's sort of a guard forward, but he probably will get in. I know he missed a good chunk of time, but the Heat have the number one record in the Eastern Conference. Got to count for something. And then you have, like, obviously Randall, who was there last year, has had a down year. Sabonis, he's getting his numbers, but the Pacers obviously are not even one of those teams that's, like, in the mix. Siakam has turned it on, you know, late, I guess, over the last month has been incredible, but, you know, the first month wasn't all that amazing. I think Tatum would be selected over him. Middleton, you know, the Ferris wheel is sort of even stuck between, you know, the bottom and the top.
People are riding other
rides.
He's
totally
right
fine. I know he just had like a big game over the weekend too, but a little bit of a down year for him. I think Tatum would get in with him. I'm just like, you go through all the sort of forwards there. It's like Jared Allen, I feel pretty confident about still being one of the Cavaliers bigs to make it along with Garland. Ooh. But like Tatum's making over Miles Bridges, for example.
Oh yeah.
He is, and deservedly so even in a down year for him when he can't shoot all that well.
Oh, but did you know that Miles Bridges is now the highest left-handed scorer in Charlotte Hornets history? Yeah, wild stat from Eric Collins last night.
Wow. Who did he overtake?
Did he pass?
Mason? Like,
wow. Yeah. I mean, Kelly Trapuca was
a righty? I don't know.
Stacey Ogden?
I don't know.
I don't know. You're the one that I
know, man.
Eric Collins didn't give me that stat.
Well, come on, Collins. You could do better.
This guy's ninth in the league in scoring, Jason Tatum. I think he's a lock. I think he's the first choice for the Celtics. And, man, when he's on fire, he's really fun to watch. He can score on anybody. And like I said earlier, it was warm-ups, basically, for Jason Tatum. He had 48 through three quarters. They just brought him back in the end. Just go shoot, man. I love it. You know, they're up by 23, I think, when Tatum returned in the fourth quarter. Just tried to get him a shot every single time. He eventually got it. He made a free throw, like I think on a technical foul maybe, got to 51. Pretty easy, though. Would have liked to see him do it in three quarters. 50
yeah,
in three
he had 48
quarters.
Through three.
Yeah, it looks awesome when you can do it, when you can get a 50-piece before the entire game is over. But disappointing stuff from the Wizards. Great stuff from Tatum.
Trey, who do you have for a winner of the NBA weekend?
My second favorite thing this weekend after Jason Tatum was Joel Embiid dipping in his duffel. Two more monster games for Embiid this weekend. 40 in a loss to the Clippers on Friday, 38 in a win against the Spurs on Sunday. That's five straight games for Embiid with 30 or more points. He had 25 in a game before that. And then prior to that 25-point game, it was the McAdoo streak. Five straight games with 31-plus. Who could forget? 30 or more points 17 times in 24 games for Joel Embiid since the start of December, since December 1st. That's kind of when he came back from his COVID shutdown. He had a little bit of a knee problem, I believe, back then as well. He just looked completely fresh. So maybe they should sit him down for a few weeks every... February, like right around the All-Star break.
Yep.
Keep him out for a little bit if they're going to be able to tread water in the Eastern Conference because he looks so good right now. When you watch him, it's like watching every great 90s center at the same time. When he's pulling the ball off the rim, going coast to coast for a dunk, that's Shaq right there. He also had a few dunks against the Spurs that were really Shaq-like. He had the one where he did a chin-up on the rim, and I think he dunked it when his head was above the rim. Shaq-like dunked that one with his legs up as well. Yeah. Had the one with Jock Landale where he kind of jabbed him to the inside, put a shoulder into him, one-hand dunk. A minor shimmy from Joel Embiid. They called it a shimmy. They put it up on House of Highlights. It was more like a shrug, like a flare shrug. Like, he didn't go full-on leg shimmy. It was just shoulders moving back and forth because he's like, this is a close game against a team we should be destroying, right. So I got to keep it cool.
It's hard to define a shimmy.
Yeah,
it's hard. Like, when you give it a half. We've been there before. It's like, what's half a shimmy, you know?
What's half a shimmy? No such thing. It's like being pregnant. You can either shimmy or not shimmy. That was not a shimmy. The trash talk, that's obviously Shaq as well. But he's got the pick and pop 15-footer, which I think has become super reliable right now. That's Patrick Ewing to me. Mm-hmm. He's got this dribble drive game off the left wing. Hakeem Olajuwon. He had this pass against the Spurs where he whipped it around a couple of defenders, around his own left shoulder. That was Sabonis. And he's hitting these trailer threes like Dirk Nowitzki. I would love to break down all of his moves in a video, but I want even more. I want people to send us in even more Joel Embiid moves that remind them of other players from way back when. So if you see him, drop him in the comments, because he's just you don't think of a player, of a big man, having a bag like he does. But he's got a big old duffel,
yep.
And it's full because it's been on complete display since he came back earlier this season. Unfortunately for the Sixers, it's like they only won one of these two games.
Right.
He's going to put up monster numbers every single night. It's just a matter of they're getting enough help on the other side as well.
It was a weird weekend for trying to find winners, yep. Because there was a lot of teams that felt like had either only played one game, and you're like, okay, or if they played two, there was a lot of like splits. You're like, oh, that's a nice dominant win, like in Embiid's case, and then it was like, oh, then they lost the other one. It always becomes a little difficult. But sure. Not mine. Actually, one more thing about Embiid. I just checked while you were talking there, Trey. He's up to third in the MVP race, the according to Basketball Reference. The tracker. Jokic number one. Pretty clear number one, actually, right now. Giannis two, and then Embiid is there. And he's been helped out with Kevin Durant not playing. Steph Curry struggling. We're going to get to him in a second. And him just being dominant. Yep. And, you know, obviously, he is sitting down at the table.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in command of at least one of the dishes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. You make your order, Joel.
Yeah.
I'm sure he would like to order one of his teammates back. I'm sure he'd love to have Ben Simmons back to be able to take that February-March break, because it's a lot to ask for any player to carry a team, but also Embiid, who's, we know, kind of runs out of gas at the end of seasons. It would be nice for Ben to have a 3-week run like he's had in the past without Embiid. It's also unfortunate, according to this report from Sam Amick and Shams Charania this morning, that Daryl Morey is willing to sit out Ben Simmons for this season because he has hopes that he can get James Harden in the offseason in exchange for Ben Simmons. I know we're tired of talking about the Ben Simmons deal.
Yeah,
but
get the real swear jar out.
but Morey, you know, putting a name on, according to reports, that James Harden could be the guy coming back. That's something. I don't know if it's just a report out there to try and instigate some trade offers from
saying,
other GMs.
Hey, we're going to just wait and trade him for James Harden. You may want to increase your offer.
17 days till this trade deadline. We will be waiting here, ready to make a video at any point. Can't wait. There's going to be a trade or two or three or four. There's going to be some trades. Even if it's Ben, even if it's not Ben, there's going to be a lot of trades.
I don't know.
Lock it.
That's what I want to hear. One of the teams that did win two games over the weekend is, my winner of the weekend, the Warriors. Two wild wins, though. Yep. Really strange wins. So on Friday night, Steph Curry nailed a game-winning 20-footer from the top of the key as time expired, as the clock went to the zeros, as the Warriors beat the Rockets 105-103. Now, you know, great shot. Interesting that it was his first beater of his career.
Yeah.
Like his first walk-off shot, apparently since high school. He hadn't done that. I guess he never did that in Davidson either. Though he has a bunch of like big shots, of course, made in like the final 5 seconds, like to win games. But first one as the time expired, so that was pretty crazy. And then Sunday night, I don't know if you guys saw this, the Warriors held on despite an 11-point fourth quarter to beat the Jazz, who only scored 17 of their own in the final period. It was a dogfight. And Bogdanovich had a pretty good look at a three to win the game. It sort of bounced in and out. And then Royce O'Neal tipped it, And that thing, like, sort of somehow didn't drop. So Jazz had two chances to either win or tie the game. And instead, the Warriors escape with both victories. And all of this is happening, you know, Curry's game winner, and then just pulling out this one out of their ass against the Jazz with Curry not being able to hit a shot. He is 35 for 117 from three-point range in the month of January. That's like 29%.
He sucks now.
It is insane.
Can't shoot.
And it brings me to a trivia question, because I saw NBA Bo, who does the highlights for NBA, the top 10s, does also NBL highlights for Australia there.
Wow.
Curry has dropped to 10th on the NBA's all-time leaders in three-point field goal percentage. He's dropped all the way down to 10th. So Korver actually now is ahead of him on the all-time three-pointer percentage shots. So can you guys name the other eight guys on that list? And I think you can. Like, this isn't too difficult.
Seth Curry
is third now. Very nice. 44% career three-point shooter.
Is Mark Price up there?
Mark Price is not that high. No.
Steve Kerr?
Steve Kerr, number one, 45.4% from three.
May have dropped down this season. How about Duncan Robinson?
I believe he has dropped down.
He's like 38.5% this year.
Okay.
That hurts in a short career.
Let's
get to more Steves. Steve, let's go big name first. Is Nash up there?
Nash is just below Curry. He's 11th.
Oh, what about Novak?
Steve Novak, 8th, 43% career three-point shooter. Very nice. Okay, so Korver's 9, so you guys got a couple more. You got 2, 4, 5, 6, and 7. And these are, I mean, one current player, but we've barely talked about this guy this
season. Buddy Hield?
No,
he's just the numbers man.
This guy's been Joe Harris. Joe is 4th.
He's been hurt.
Yeah. And, okay, so now some just... I mean, it's unfortunate I'm asking this trivia question without Lee Ellis here. Just some beautiful shooters of the basketball.
Some beautiful shooters.
One, rest in peace, Lee was wearing his shirt the other
day. Drazen Petrovic.
Fifth all time.
How about, I know it's not Five Star Friday, but how about Jason Capone?
6th. You guys got two more guys. One is on television all the time.
Dennis Scott?
No. Different network. It's usually breaking.
Tim Legler.
Legs, 7th. And you're missing 2nd place all time. 44%.
J.J. Redick.
No. Did we pull this guy's card recently in a pop and packs? I want to say we did.
It's not Dale. Not that high.
No. You know, maybe, I can't remember. Did it come up when you guys were talking to Chris Herring? When did he play for them? That's a hint.
Hubert Davis.
There it is.
Yeah, we picked him in a pop. We picked Hubert in a pop and packs a couple weeks
ago. There it is. Yeah. Okay, so just to give that to you, Steve Kerr, first overall 3-point field goal percentage, 45.4%. Then it's Hubert Davis, Seth Curry, Joe Harris, Drazen Petrovic, Jason Capono, Tim Legler, Steve Novak, Kyle Korver, and then Curry dropped to 10th. But this is really weird.
Yeah, he's
off,
man.
And he has been off. You know, he had the game winner, which is ironic. That wasn't a 3-2. But not shooting well, like, in crunch time. Not shooting well at all. Like, another, like, what was he, 1-for-13, I think, against the Jazz there on Sunday?
I blame Clay.
It's weird.
I think it's Clay's fault. I think they have been trying to work in Clay at all points. Whenever Clay's on the floor, and that's to start games, obviously. And so it's taking Steph out of his flow. You know, it's not Clay's fault, but it's Clay's fault.
While we're talking about top 10s, another mini winner of the weekend to Dwight Howard.
Diggity, Dwight.
He passed Nate Thurman for 10th place on the league's all-time rebounding list. It's sort of crazy this guy wasn't voted to the top 75, though. It really is. I know we were upset at the time, but it is wild. He has 5 rebounding titles, 8 All-Star honors, 8 All-NBA selections, 5 All-Defensive nods, 3 Defensive Player of the Year awards, and 2 block titles. And he's got a chip. You know, it came late in his career and all that. That was crazy.
Mm-hmm. That was crazy.
That's a bad one. I know, like, a lot of the attention was on Clay not getting on, and sure, I'm bumping off some of those old farts for sure. But
who are you bumping? Who are you bumping? Al Greer? It's Greer.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. Anthony Davis? You bumping Anthony Davis for Dwight? You might be.
I think you...
You might be.
Yeah, you might be.
Yep.
You might be.
Yes, you would. In terms of his career accomplishments, yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. And he's going to pass Kevin Garnett.
Yeah,
probably.
Soon.
It's like 190. So maybe yes, maybe no. I just want to see if Kevin Garnett has a comment about that, about Dwight passing him. Kevin Garnett, part of the tweet of the night, a little later on. Yeah. So stay tuned for the ads.
Okay.
Probably want to stay tuned for the ads coming up. Although it'll be a lot quicker than the ones previously.
Yeah, hopefully.
And then Tweet of the Night with KG.
Any other winners you guys wanted to throw in here?
No.
Football or not?
No. I'll give a quick winner of the weekend to San Francisco 49ers kicker Robbie Gould for eliminating the Packers. Former Bear Dwayne. I haven't heard a text from you yet.
Ooh, your father-in-law staying quiet, is he?
Oh, sure. He was happy to send me a picture of a floorboard he tore up that said "Go Pack" underneath the carpet. But that was Friday. Haven't heard since. Robbie, good as gold. That leg's looking nice.
In the snow.
Yeah. Dude. Oh, yeah, the flurries. Flakes, man. Yeah. Watch the flakes.
Right. Them's the stakes.
Let's hear from everybody out there. Can't get to all of your teams or all of the players, so I'm sure we forgot one that you wish we talked about. Let us know. Winners or losers of the NBA weekend.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Back with No Dunks here on a Monday. Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Tweet of the Night centers around Kevin Garnett. And if you remember Kevin Garnett, he verbally wanted to be an owner of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Mm-hmm. He put it out there verbally. Now, Glenn Taylor of the Minnesota Timberwolves, when he was putting this thing on the market, he said, hey, there is no offer from Kevin Garnett. It has not happened. So there was a bit of a war of words there, and those two have never saw eye to eye. The Timberwolves ended up being sold to Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lowry. And so those two have made a bit of a rumor out here. It's not an announcement quite yet, but the tweet of the night goes to Jace Frederick, which is based on a juicy note from Twin Cities writer Charlie Walters. Walters writes, there's buzz now that proposed Timberwolves owners Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lowry want ex-Wolves star Kevin Garnett to join the pair for a $100 million investment and for his player input. If that happens, a Garnett statue outside Target Center would be erected, as well as retirement of his number 21 jersey. This is a big deal if it does happen, because Minnesota and Kevin Garnett are synonymous with one another, but at the same time, because Kevin Garnett never saw eye to eye with Glenn Taylor, there was a huge rift. Garnett just wasn't a part of the franchise anymore. So if they can bring him back in, first, we'll take your 100 mil. We'll accept that. But he's always wanted to be a part of the organization, right, be a part of the ownership. So that could happen. Retirement of the jersey, which inexplicably still hasn't happened, will happen. And then a statue as well. Now, again, this is a rumor, but this is Twin Cities writer Charlie Walters, who knows his Minnesota stuff. So I would expect something like this to happen. I think Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lowry have got their fingers on the pulse of what fans want, and so I think this is something that could happen, and that would be great for KG, because he wants this to happen so badly. He kept saying that he wants to buy this team, and he would love for this to happen. I think
Why don't they just do the jersey retirement and the statue first? And then get the $100 million from Kevin Garnett. Say, hey, man, we're making a commitment to you. You're the greatest player in franchise history. We want everybody to know it. Your name and your jersey is up there and your body is outside. Yes, we will also accept your $100 million. And you being around the franchise, you being welcomed back in good graces. But the order of operations seems a little backwards to me.
Interesting. I think... He may want to give them $100 million first, which sounds crazy. But I think that may be more important to him, that he has a stake in this franchise. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's all been rumors for years with KG and how that's hasn't panned out very well. But he wants it to happen so
bad.
Yeah, he put it on Instagram. Yeah. Yes, he's put it when it didn't happen with Glenn Taylor and ended up going to A-Rod and Mark Lurie. A-Rod, big Packers fan this weekend, by the way.
So I was there.
Saw that.
He was there with a Green Bay hat on. What's up with that?
I bet he's buds with Aaron Rodgers. I don't know for sure, but I would guess so.
I think you're right.
Seems like they're buddies.
I think you're accurate.
Give him the hat.
Free hat for you. And free $100 million coming his way, I think. I think that's going to happen.
Didn't the Wolves also, I think we talked about it on the show, had that recent hire, I'm forgetting the name right
from
now.
From Clutch Sports?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, to like the idea of like to like sort of turn around how other players think of this organization. So this all makes sense that they like, you know, this these reports and rumors would come on the heels of that.
Marquise Watts is coming in there to help rebuild what people think of the Timberwolves.
Specifically players.
Yes.
For sure, because I remember in that report it was like they get drafted by Minnesota, maybe they play there, then they leave, and then they go to other teams like, oh,
hey,
this is how an organization is running? This is what we're actually doing?
Statues out here.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So, I'd love to see all of this happen for KG to be a part of ownership, and then, of course, for him to have a statue and at the very least a jersey retired.
We didn't get to see the Charles Barkley statue in Leeds, Alabama when we were just there at Bucky's. We should have stopped by and
blew that.
Yeah, we did.
We'll
go back.
We'll go back for sure.
To Bucky's.
For sure. Okay, pick 'em results from Friday night. It was the Heat-Hawks game. Atlanta was favored by 1.5, and they won by 2.
The Hawks are back, baby.
The Hawks, yeah. We could have included them as a winner of the weekend.
No doubt.
Yeah, they got a little win streak going here. And Tass. Woo, another close one that Tass pulls out. You were the only one to have Atlanta to cover, and of course they just did. You're 6-8, Trey's 6-8, Lee falls to 5-9, and I'm leading everybody right now, but I'm only 2 games up. I'm 8-6, so it's anybody's pick'em to lose. There's enough time in January for me to blow this. I could have a meltdown, I'm sure.
Seems like a really long month. And maybe that's why nobody wants to say Happy New Year now. It seems like 2022's been going on for a while.
It's been back for a while.
We haven't even hit the Royal Rumble yet.
Yeah. I think it's because we were back recording on January 2nd, you know?
Yeah.
That seems early.
Sometimes it feels like a 4th or 5th. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, so we've got these between 8 and 6 and 5 and 9. So, yes, I agree. Anyone's game.
Yep.
Tonight's a tough one. It's only a 4-game night in the association. The Cavs are at home to the Knicks. And if you were to see this line of 7.5-point favorites for the Cleveland Cavaliers before the season started, you would think that's crazy. The Cavs are 7.5-point favorites. Cleveland, doing it night in and night out. Three of us are on those Cavs. Skeet's the only one taking the Knicks.
Oh, no. I'm gonna blow this month, aren't I? I'm going to be the... Actually, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to be the Rams. I'm going to have this big lead. I'm going to give it all back. But then I'm going to somehow pull it out right
there. Going deep.
You watch. I'll be tied with you guys in a couple nights, and then I'll pull it out. But yeah, I'll take the Knicks. The line's big.
That's a big line.
The big line's big.
It's a big chunk.
And the Knicks, they actually play okay, I think, in back-to-back situations. It's one of those weird things. Cam Reddish is now playing for them. I just think they'll keep it close enough. Despite the Cavs, man, they're a great team. They could easily blow them out, but I will hope for a game that's 7 points or closer there, even if the Knicks lose.
Okay, I'm changing gears here. This comment here is it's stuck in my craw. Just a question about Kevin Garnett.
Okay.
Still with the in yep. the stream team yep. asking, statue, jersey, did he get out of the first round?
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah, he did. Oh, yeah, he made a conference final in 2004. They were on the verge of getting there. If Sam Cassell doesn't get hurt, who knows?
Who knows?
Maybe they make the finals. Anyways, teams can retire whoever they want. They can give a statue to whoever they want. And KG deserves it.
Who's it like? Who's the least deserving of a statue?
That would get one, or what?
Yeah, no, that has one. I'm just like,
oh,
like that statue. That's, you got to be real good for a franchise to get a statue.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We'd have to do a deep dive on that. Let us know in the stream team. Let us know in the comments.
Trying to think of any bad statues.
I'm
like Kareem. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Magic Johnson, pretty good. Like, oh, Chick Hearn. What do you ever, what do you ever do? Didn't they score a single point in the NBA?
He's definitely deserving. Yeah, a statue, that's... like, I mean, like, of course. Like, Dominique Wilkins. I mean, he didn't win anything. Of course he deserves a statue for the Hawks.
Kevin Garnett right there.
Yeah.
Number 21 as well.
Great number.
Great number.
I love
that. Let's retire that. We should make a statue of your laptop. I know you're going to be retiring it not too long. You did take off the 21 sticker, unfortunately.
I did?
Well, didn't it used to be like right in the middle of where Biggie is? It used to be on.
Yeah, maybe. look at these stickers here. Shout out to Yeti. Shout out to
The Yeti.
To Buff that makes Survivor buffs.
Definitely shout out to them.
Dunktown, what's up, Dunk Comp?
What is the
Well, T-H-E? it did say The Athletic, but The Athletic started falling off.
Oh.
So then I just turned into the Yeti. Yeah, this old computer holding on.
Seeing some things.
It's going to go any day now. Like if I take the the power cord off.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I'm down to 1%. It's like a battery shot. No, I'm kidding a little bit, but it goes quick.
That's an old computer. That's
a very old computer.
Mm-hmm.
I take care of my computer.
Days. I take care of my computer.
That's another Rick Ross line. I take care of my computer. Guys, thanks for joining us here on Monday. Email in your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, @NoDunksInc. That's INC. Grab yourself an athletic subscription. I can never say this. Do you notice I struggle with it almost every day?
I don't think so.
8 times out of 10. Grab yourself an athletic subscription. I think it's because I'm rushing near the end and then I'm trying to say it too fast. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks.
Maybe it should just be get an athletic subscription.
Yeah.
Shorten it? I don't know.
No, I think it's just the athletic.
Get athletic.
I struggle to say
subscription.
That. Here's the other part.
Season
mouth gets
to say.
A little dry by the end of the show, too. Coffee's all gone.
Coffee's all gone.
Athletic subscription. See, I'm still struggling. Appreciate you guys joining us, though.
Script is what's getting you, I think.
Athletic
script.
Subscription.
Subscript.
TheAthletic.com/
Too many plosives. That's what my sister told me, a word that has a p. That's a plosive, right?
Yeah.
Script.
I do struggle with that.
Athletic subscription.
Athletic subscription. Now it's easy.
Not an ad. Terms apply. Kind of bad.
All right, guys. We will see you tomorrow. Maybe do a little beach stepping. So get those questions in. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. Until then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, and remember, that sounds like a Rick Ross line. Morning not good, coffee all gone, subscription not renewed, what am I gonna do? What am I gonna do? That was, what am I gonna do? Anyway, cool.
What an ending. Face the day, people.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.